You are now listening to the Random Rambles of Jay. Hello? Oh, hi, you're right. Yeah, I just bought it. Yeah, I know, because I saw it on the back of the box. There was like a really long list of system requirements. Yeah, because when I came to see you that time, you know, you had the dummy boxes out. I noticed it on the back from then, and I phoned them, like Microsoft up, and they said, yeah, those are the system requirements. So I had to run around and make sure that I got everything. Did you not see it? It was something stupid, like you had to have an Xbox Elite and you also had to have the Live Gold account, which is fine, I've already got that. But then you had to have two 360 memory cards, a Microsoft Zune, a PC with a terabyte of memory and a dual processor which has the Vista operating system, fiber optic cables, a 2.2 kVA product code 395008 Stoke petrol electric generator, the 360 HD DVD drive, a 250GB external hard disk drive and 7 floppy disks. It was something stupid, yeah. I have no idea, but apparently you have to have all that stuff. Otherwise, when you play the game, your Xbox 360 will just brick straight away. You just get the red lights as soon as you turn the game on. Yeah, well, it's fine for you. You've got the PS3, so you can just get that version, can't you? Yeah. Yeah, I literally got home just like a couple minutes ago. Yeah, so I'm going to start playing it in a bit. You are? Oh, okay. Alright then, talk to you later. Okay, bye. Okay, let's put this game on. Jesus. Oh, God. Hello? Yeah, didn't work. You are currently listening to the Random Rambles of Jay for the week beginning October 26, 2009. Hello, Jay here. After a huge hiatus, I am finally back with a new podcast. I hope you're all well and good. I wish I could say there has been a lot happening between my last podcast and this one, but not really the case. But it's good to be back on the microphone, and it's just nice to have another podcast out. And yeah, do you know what? I'm just going to jump right in and let you know what has been going on in the life of Jay in the segment that I like to call In My Life. It's my life. Don't you forget. Count it the crowd. What has been going on in the life of Jay? Now, the one thing that has been on my mind for, well, ever since I got back is Japan. I cannot get that place out of my head. It's amazingly horrible because I love Japan and I'm glad that I was able to go out there and have such an amazing time and a memorable holiday and to have made so many amazing memories with my friends that I will cherish and remember for the rest of my life. And I'm so grateful and thankful for that. But at the same time, it's horrible because I think the whole of this year every single step I take, every moment that I sit and I think to myself and I have the chance to reflect, I'm always thinking about, I just want to go back to Japan. And I kind of feel like, I've never looked at my life and felt, oh my God, my life is absolutely shit. But having gone to Japan, I kind of caught a glimpse of what potentially my life could be like, or the kind of life I could have if I were in Japan. And I've not been able to get that kind of image out of my head. And it hurts to a certain extent, because the whole of this year hasn't been a brilliant year. I kind of said in my last random ramble, or my first random ramble for 2009, that I wanted 2009 to be a memorable year. I wanted it to be the year where I make lots of transitions that will change my future, hopefully for the better. But some of those plans haven't gone according to plan. And the whole time, I think, every time I think about Japan, I think to myself, I just want to go back. I just want to be there. I just know that that's where I belong. That's where I need to be. And if I were to be out there and my life sucked, at least I can look back and say, okay, I tried. And quite a few of my friends who went on the holiday with me, they're constantly bringing it up as well. So at least I know it's not just me being this idiot that's just so sprung on Japan. It's like, Japan, 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 Japan. I know that I wasn't the only one that went out there and had the country have a profound impact on them to the point where they just want to go back. So Japan's been on my mind a lot. I kind of feel like there's a life for me over there that's much better than the one I've got now. And I could have that life, but there's things that are tethering me to this life here in the UK and whatnot. And that kind of gets me down sometimes. But, you know, hopefully the universe will put me in the right place at the right time, and eventually I'll get to live that life. I hope I get to. It'd be really sad if I didn't. But I'm still young. I've still got time. And I'm at that stage where I can make it happen. You know, I'm not married. I don't have children. I don't have any indefinite ties that can or will prevent me from having that life. So that's kind of the optimistic streak that I've been trying to hold on to. So I just miss Japan so much. I really wanted to go in November again, but I don't think it's going to happen. I could actually go in November, but I don't think some of my friends could because of financial situations. And also with the UK still being in a recession, the pound is still in the toilet pretty much. The pound is shit. It's really weird. I mean, the country was in a recession before, but I was so young that it didn't really affect me, and I was fortunate enough that it didn't affect my parents or my family. But now I'm working and I'm adult, I'm much more aware of the recession now. I mean, everybody has to be, because it, even though it may not impact you directly, there's something within your scope that the recession will impact, and so you kind of do have to take note of it. And the pound is still shit, so the yen, you're not getting as much yen for your pound. That's something that really shitted us over when we went to Japan last year, was that we got such bad exchange rates. So essentially, pretty much, we went to Japan with half the money we would have got had the UK not been in a recession, and that was definitely a bit of a downer. But yeah, so the recession's one thing that's preventing the Japan 08 crew going back over there again this year, and just other financial factors, and also a lot of us wanting to be in better jobs so we can just save the money and just go and ball out. So that's a bit depressing. I would have liked to have been out there in November. It's really going to hurt me when November rolls around, because I'm going to think, oh my God, this time last year I was having the time of my life, and now I'm stuck here in shitty, rainy old London. I do have a love-hate relationship with London, but you get my point. When you have an amazing time somewhere and then the following year you're not there, it does get you down. So yeah, that's the take on that, really. And even my friends who I didn't go to Japan with, they were all like, when I came back from Japan, they were like, oh my God, I can't believe you went to Japan and didn't tell me, and da 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 da, and oh, I'm going to come next time you go. They've not got the money either, so it's not going to happen unless I go out there on my own, which I would consider doing. You know, if I was ever to live in Japan, I'd be on my own at least for the first few months until I start to make friends and stuff. So I guess it would be a good, like, a bit of a crash course, really. But it's a bit too, it's not far away enough for me to kind of think, all right, I'm going to do it. So that's something that's on the back burner. But yeah, I really want to go back to Japan. And that's just been on my mind the whole year. And on a completely different note, I really need to wash my car. When was the last time I washed my car? I'm sorry, this is a complete random transition. It's just I was driving in my car today and I was thinking, Jesus Christ, it's really dirty. My car is supposed to be black, but it looks brown, borderline grey, borderline dying tone. And the windscreen's so dirty that I can barely see through it. And when it rains, it's even worse because it streaks the dirt all the way down it. And I don't like driving with my windscreen wipers going unless the rain is near enough torrential. It just distracts and it smears and I hate it. But I really do need to clean my car. The last time I cleaned my car was... Oh God, what month was it? It must have been July. That's disgusting. I know that's really bad. July was the last time I cleaned my car. I remember because I took it to my dad's. And usually when I needed to clean my car, I would take it to my dad's house because he's got one of those high pressure jet washing things. So literally you can just blast the dirt off. And it takes half the time to wash a car. But whenever I would take my car to my dad's, he's one of those people where he just has this innate need and desire to take over everything. Whenever you do something, it's never good enough. So I'd be washing it. He'd be like, no, you do it like this. And then I'd just stand back and be like, well, psh. So my dad did, he hoovered the inside. He got the back to black spray out. He was T-cutting the scratches. He was doing everything. And the car looked really nice. And the next day it rained. And the car looked a mess again. And then I must have driven it up and down. I can't remember where I went. I was on the motorway driving. And obviously the thing about when you're driving on the motorway or dual carriage, you're not aware of it when you're in the car, but you get chip damage, you know, little bits of gravel and dirt hitting the car and it causes all kind of little scratches. So the car looked a wreck. And since then I thought, do you know what? I'm not going to bother washing it. Because every time I do it, rains the next day. But I need to clean my car because it looks a wreck. And I also need to get some hubcaps or some alloys for it. Because my car's not got any hubcaps or alloys. And it looks horrible. It's just black. It's just the wheels just look black. And the thing is about my car, it's not the best looking car in the world, but it's a nice car. But the thing is, I think with any car, when a car doesn't have wheel trims, hubcaps or alloys, it looks a state. And my car looks a state. I need to get some alloys on it. But it's just money and I don't really want to be spending hundreds of pounds on some bits of metal that's just going to stay in my wheels. Because the car's been alright up until now. So that's a bit of a random thing I kind of veered off onto. I need to wash my car and start maintaining it because it does look a bit grotty. And what else has Jay been getting up to going out in the week? For me, I don't tend to go out as much on the weekends, but I go out quite a bit on the weekdays. Monday and Tuesday tend to be my partying days, occasionally a Thursday. I need to start pronouncing my THs better. Thursday. And going out's nice. It's quite weird because growing up when I was 18, 19, I didn't really go out that much, but now I'm in my 20s, it's almost like I'm like, from 21 onwards, it was almost like I was making up for lost time, out all the time, getting absolutely I don't get absolutely piss faced. I've got a very high tolerance for alcohol. It takes a lot for me to get drunk. I have to drink heavy amounts of alcohol successively before I get drunk. Like, I could be drinking really strong drinks throughout the night, but it won't really have much of an effect on me, because if I'm dancing or I'm not drinking for at least an hour, the alcohol's already working its way out of my system. So I sober up very quickly. So it takes a lot of consecutive drinks for me to get drunk. So I'm not piss-faced every night. There have been a couple of nights where a couple of my mates and I got absolutely lashed, like ruined so bad. Thank God nobody had the camera phones and the pictures out, because I'm not looking for, I don't really like seeing drunk pictures of me going up on things like Facebook and blogs and Twitter. So yeah, I've been going out quite a bit. It's just nice to spend time with my friends in an atmosphere where, you know, you can just let go and have a nice time. And it also takes my mind off that particular day. If I've had a really bad day or a bad week, I know, oh, I can look forward to such and such a day because I'll be out with my good friends and we can just let go and have a good time and I can just forget about everything. So that's quite nice. It's given me a bit of a reputation with some members of my family and my colleagues at work, especially when I'm going into work hungover and tired. So I'm getting a bit of a reputation as a party animal, even though I'm really not a party animal. I go out one to two times, once, twice a week, three, if I'm pushing it. That doesn't qualify me as a party animal at all. But there you go. Different people have different gauges and criteria for things. So that pretty much sums it up for what's been going on my life. On my life, in my life. Primarily missing Japan, my home away from home. Ugh. These are the random rambles of I've not actually been gaming all that much. My gaming's been curbed slightly. I'm not sure why it is. I think the long honeymoon period of owning a new console and being able to play all these flash looking games I see on IGN, GameSpot and all the rest of it, slowly wearing off. I think it's safe to say, as is being able to play games with people online and actually talk without having to input some 16-digit friend code. When I first got Resident Evil 5, I was playing the game non-stop. I'm addicted to mercenaries, or I was addicted to mercenaries like absolute crack. My friends always used to take the piss out of me, like, every time I go on Xbox Live, you're playing Resident Evil 5 in mercenaries, and but not really been playing it much. I think, in terms of gaming, I've kind of been checking out what games have been coming out. I think I was so immersed in just playing the games that I had that my vision was tunnelled. I wasn't really too aware of games that were forthcoming. So there's some really cool looking games. Final Fantasy 13 is really winning me over in a big way. Big way. To begin with, I was like, oh god, this looks like Star Wars with a bit of Final Fantasy 12 and a bit of 10 and a little bit of 8 as well. Unoriginal as hell. But now I've seen more of the story, more of the character interactions and the battle system, Final Fantasy 13 is looking like an essential purchase that I need in my damn life. The game looks hot, and there was a lot of controversy over how many discs, hard drives, iPods, Zunes, floppy disks and CDs that the Xbox 360 version would end up on, and it's only 3. Which I think is quite good. I think Blue Dragon was on 3 discs as well, if I'm not mistaken. Though I think that's because you could switch the languages from English to Japanese. Unfortunately, 13 won't have that option, even on the PlayStation 3 version, which I find odd, considering you'd think that Square Enix and Sony would kind of want to, look, our version's got the English language track and yours hasn't. But no doubt they'll probably throw it in the PS3 version for Final Fantasy 13 International. But 13 is looking amazing. It's looking really, really good. Good, I cannot wait to play that. Square Enix are saying that, well, I don't think they've said, but a Q1 release date is looking like it's going to be greenlit for the West. I'm not holding my breath. It wouldn't surprise me if this game didn't release in the UK and Australia until Christmas 2010. But it would be nice if the game managed to get localized in time for the first quarter. I'm kind of 50-50. Square Enix could pull it off because they've been plugging away at this game for so long under the radar. And the game looks like it's near enough done. It probably is. And I know that the English voice track has already been completed. So there's a chance it could happen. But knowing Square Enix, they could decide to just... this is what I think. America will get it in Q1. The UK won't. I'd be very surprised if we did. But then I'd be equally surprised if we did or didn't get it, because it could go either way. But the game is looking amazing. I was always going to buy Final Fantasy 13 day of release, but now I want it bad. Really bad. And I just hope it's not the same old thing. It would be so deflating if after all this excitement that I finally had built up, that the game just played like all of the rest and it was dry, because that would actually make me angry. You know, same old thing, chocobos, mogs, attack, item, magic, all that shit.
Break.
1, 2, 3, let's go. Attack. Magic. You ready? Yeah.
no fantasy. The same old things that happen. It's like the star for Square Enix is too afraid to just imagine. Imagine. The new game came out that played like 7 and 6. You do at the end of this, but instead we get future games that play like shit. Please show me that you actually can buy Final Fantasy. Show some effort, please. Show me shit we've already seen. Same old summons, same old things. Show Kobo's minds of magic. I know the other FF lovers out there know what I mean. Same old game, same old things. Attack items and magic. This is a part where they fall in love. Guy and girl. From the start we knew they'd fall in love. Run it into the ground now. All you do is put out games, show me shit we've already seen. Same old summons, same old things, Joker, Bose, Monks, and Magic. I know the other FF lovers out there know what I mean. Same old game, same old things, attack items and magic.
But it's looking good. I'm loving the lead female character, Lightning. She's such a badass. And I'm a bit disappointed that the big guy who looks like a cross between Cypher, Sifa, and some Kingdom Hearts character. I thought him, his name's Snow. I thought he and the main girl would have a thing going on. But it turns out that the main character's got a younger sister who he's kicking it with. And they're engaged. And I think their relationship, I think there's a bit of a triangle between the main girl who's named Lightning and her sister named Sarah and Snow. There's a bit of a triangle going on there. She doesn't really like Snow and she has a bit of a weird relationship with her younger sister. But I was really hoping something would go on with Snow and Lightning. I hope it still does. If I was writing the script to Final Fantasy XIII, I'd have it that Snow and Lightning have an affair, Sarah finds out, she kills herself, and then Snow and Lightning have to live with that guilt for the rest of their lives. And then you find out later on that Sarah was pregnant with Snow's baby. Dun dun dun. How dramatic is that? That would really mess with your head. It'd be like, oh my god, Sarah just killed herself. And then later on, oh, Sarah was pregnant with Snow's baby. That would just blow everything up into the air. Hopefully we'll get some twists and turns like that. A character needs to die in a Final Fantasy game. It's been a while. I'm lying. Final Fantasy XII, there was this black guy that died. Yeah, it would be black, wouldn't it? But there was this black guy that died in Final Fantasy XII. But this was right at the end of the game, and this guy wasn't even central to the plot. It literally was a case of this black guy just comes in out of nowhere. Hello, my name's such and such. I'm a pirate. I own a ship. I'm going to do this, that, and whatever. And then 10 minutes later, I used to be a judge. I'm not going to let the crystal do this to the world. And then he dies. So it's like, before you even have a moment to kind of register who this guy is and how he works into the plot, he's dead. So it's a lot to take in. It wasn't like when What's-Her-Face died in Final Fantasy VII. I'm sorry if I spoiled that. I deliberately didn't mention the name, but surely everyone knows who died in that game. It wasn't like that, where she was in your party and you leveled her up and you got to know her, then she's dead. It was like, when that happened, I'm not going to lie, I cried. But every other Final Fantasy game that's come out since, characters are either dead before the game even kicks off, so you don't really feel anything for them, or it's some miscellaneous character you don't care about, so you feel nothing for them when they die. Or the character dies before you even get a chance to really know them, and it doesn't register. So hopefully, if a character needs to die in 13, and they need to be central to the plot, like I said, I wouldn't mind this Sarah bitch dying. Or, oh my god, this would actually, if Lightning died at the end, Jesus Christ, I would break into tears because I love that woman. If she was like, no, that was it. Because what it is, the story is, in Final Fantasy 13, certain people get chosen as IC. They're almost like the chosen ones. They're pretty much like Jedis with all these powers and abilities and stuff like that, or some of them anyway. And an IC is chosen from some higher being, and an IC has a focus, which is a mission that they have to carry out. And if they don't carry out this focus within a certain amount of time, they die and they become like a lifeless zombie. So this is the fear that everybody has of becoming an IC, and it's why a lot of people don't want to become an IC, because their life is in somebody else's hands, essentially. It would be wicked if, by Lightning not carrying out her focus, she allows someone else close to her to live, so she dies in the end to save someone else's life. Because A, I'd cry because my favourite character's dead, but I'd also be emotional because I'd be like, that's my girl, she made the sacrifice. So somebody in 13 has got to go. I don't know who it is. Someone central to the plot that I like and is likeable and warm needs to die in 13. That would make me happy. It would make me sad at the time, but happy overall. So yeah, 13's been on my mind a lot. The trailer looks incredibly sexy. I'm loving everything about it. I just hope Square don't let me down, because they've done it in the past. You know, I mean, that's the one thing you can usually rely on from Square Enix, a game to have really good graphics and to let you down. Hopefully 13 will buck the trend, seeing this is bucking many others, it releasing on Xbox 360 for a start. So it's going to be interesting to see the graphical comparisons. One of my friends has a PlayStation 3, so he also owns an Xbox 360, but he said he's going to buy the PS3 version purely because the game is on one disc. It's a convenience factor, which is fair enough. I think most people who have a PS3 and an Xbox 360 will go for the PS3 version. Unless, of course, Square announce this amazing downloadable content for the Xbox version and not the PS3, which could happen. I mean, look at Grand Theft Auto. Other than my head being filled with thoughts of 13 and the Wonder Woman that is Lightning, not much going on in the gaming. My gaming life is so boring. It literally was just Resident Evil 5 and nothing else. I was addicted to that game like crack. It was hitting a point where I was getting so sick of that game. It was feeling like everything was running like clockwork. You know, I go public assembly, pick Battlesuit Jill, and I just run through it. Double S ranks ain't a damn thing. Go on prison, double S ain't a damn thing. Every stage I go on, double S rank is not a damn thing for me. Unless I'm playing with someone that's really shit, then I just have to disconnect. But yeah, oh, speaking of Resident Evil 5, Capcom went and announced some alternate version that's got this chapter where you play as Chris and Jill. Pissed off. Why couldn't they have put that in the main game, like they did with Assignment Ada in Resident Evil 4? Instead, they're going to either release it on a disc in Japan. I mean, it's exclusive to Japan for the time being, but that will blatantly get a Western release. Or they're going to nickel and dime, or penny and pence gamers, to download it as DLC on a marketplace. No, Capcom can kiss my ass. Capcom can go suck on an Ouroboros tentacle with that shit. I put my foot down with the versus mode. I'm not going to lie, I really did want it. I really did want versus mode so badly. I used to sit there with the cursor on buy, like, oh my god, my finger, I'd start to get the shakes. I'd be like, I really want this, but it's the principle. I paid £40 for this game. £45 for this game. Now, not even a month later, you want to be releasing this extra mode that should have been in the game anyway. Then 6+ months later, you want to be releasing this additional chapter that should have been in the main game as an unlockable for free. No, kiss my ass, suck and guzzle on the Ouroboros tentacle, because I do not want to hear it. I'm not downloading that. Not downloading that at all. I'm putting the foot down. Putting the foot down. Capcom can piss off. It's bad enough they go and drop Super Street Fighter 4, but then to go and drop that alternate No, not doing it. So, yeah, that's where I stand with the gaming. You can check out my blog at www.randomjblog.com. You can also check out my podcasting blog, which is at www.therandomramblesofj.blogspot.com. And you can also check my podcast out on iTunes. It's now available on there. If you just click on the little search thingy and type in The Random Rambles of Jay, you can download, subscribe, stream all of my podcasts through iTunes. So there you go. And now, a Japan story from the Chronicles of Jay in Japan. If you go to Japan, you have to do karaoke. It's a given. Going to Japan and not going to karaoke is like going to Japan and not trying sushi. But having said that, I don't think I ate any the whole time I was out there. Forget that. But if you do go to Japan, one thing you do have to do is karaoke. First off, I say karaoke. What's wrong with my speech today? Karaoke in Japan is relatively cheap. Obviously, the more of you that go, the less it costs. But generally, karaoke in Japan is pretty cheap in comparison to some of the prices that you have to pay for over here. I think because karaoke in Japan is such a widespread thing. I mean, karaoke parlors, karaoke houses, karaoke bars, whatever you want to call them. Karaoke establishments, there we go, that sums it all up. They're on every corner, they're everywhere. It's something that people do every day. And it's something that school kids do after school, college students who do it, university students, people after work. So many people do it, I guess it has to be affordable. That's probably the reason why it is. But basically the setup is you kind of go in. The biggest karaoke chain that I know of that was everywhere was one called Big Echo. And these are everywhere. And on this one particular occasion, we went to karaoke in Akihabara. Or Akihabara, however you want to pronounce it. Also known as Electric Town or Electric City. It's a really popular place for like geeks and stuff and electronics. Google it. You will have heard of it before, I'm sure. And we went to a Big Echo karaoke place there. And a little story before we actually get to the karaoke part. We were walking around Akihabara that night anyway, because I'd been there before, but a couple of my friends hadn't. So I was like, I don't mind going there again because it's a big place. I didn't get to see it all. And we were there all night. And we thought, we don't really want to go home. What should we do? Let's go karaoke. So we walked around and we found a Big Echo karaoke place in Akihabara near the train station. And there was this guy like sitting on like a little wall. And he had his head down. He looked like he was crying. And we kind of all stopped. And everyone was just walking past him, leaving him to it. And I was like, should we say something? Should we see if he's okay? And meanwhile, I'm standing there asking my friends, you know, what should we do? Should we leave him? Should we ask him? I've seen a flash go off. My friend's taken a picture of the poor boy. I couldn't believe it. I laughed, but I was like, that's really bad. And then he took my camera and took a picture as well. Nice. These are the kind of people I roll with. But, you know, the angel on my shoulder got most of the airtime. And so I walked over and I asked him if he was okay. I asked him in Japanese as well, which I was quite impressed with, and asked him, you know, are you okay? And I didn't realise, but he put his head up and he was on the phone and he looked like he'd been crying and he was sniffing like, yeah, I'm fine. Obviously he said it in Japanese, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Again, I said that all in Japanese, and then I walked back to my friends and just when he said it's fine, so we walked into the karaoke. Now the girl at the karaoke desk was a very lovely looking girl. She was really pretty. She was small. One of my friends nicknamed her Pebbles from the Flintstones because of her hairstyle. It was like a little top of the head, sprouty kind of ponytail thing. And she was really, really soft spoken. And my friend had a big crush on her. And we were talking. She could speak a bit of English, but there was definitely this language barrier there. We're talking in English. She's talking in Japanese. And we're trying to, like, it was like playing Pictionary, making big gestures so we understand one another. So after that, she got what we meant, we got what she meant, we all laughed, had a joke about it. And then another girl named Mai, she showed us to our room. She was really, really cute, and she showed us to our room, and we all sat in the room. And then she got down on it. It's like in the karaoke room, there was like a small table, and we all sat, and then she went down on her knees. All of us looked at each other like, wow, what kind of service are we going to get tonight? But she went down on her knees, and I think it was just, she was went down on her knees just so she was kind of looking at us all at eye level, because we were sat down, and she was going to get the menus and the songbooks out and explain stuff to us. That's how it looked to me when I realised what she was doing. Damn it, I weren't going to get that special service. But literally, as soon as her knee hit the floor, I think the manager must have came in and must have mumbled in Japanese words to the effect of, get out, I'll take over from here. Again, me and my friends looked at each other like, wow, she obviously did something she wasn't supposed to. And she bowed and she left, and we all said bye. And this guy could speak English, and he didn't look impressed with us. I don't know what this guy's deal was. I'd never seen him before, but for whatever reason, he decided he was going to come in and he was going to host this room. And he came in, said what he had to, then he left. He could speak English, really good English. And that was our karaoke session. We left, had a good time, sung out some really classic songs. And then I think we went back there a couple of days after. We went back to Akiba, because we were like, oh, let's go karaoke again. And because my friend fancied one of the girls that worked there, and I had a bit of a thing for one of the girls there as well, we decided we'd go back to that exact same one. And Pebbles wasn't working, but Maya was. So she was at the desk, and I was trying to talk to her a bit, and that's when I actually first got her name. I was like, oh, but I didn't know enough Japanese to really converse with her, and she knew zero English. Zero. But anyway, she showed us to our karaoke room again. She didn't make the mistake of going down on her knees. It literally was, here's the room, by her. She walked off. We were singing karaoke, and here's where I get to the story a bit. One of my friends, he was like, oh, I want a cigarette. And he got up, and rather than push the door open, he decided to kick the bottom of it open. I don't know why he had this. He must have been craving the cigarette bad. And the doors in the karaoke, they swing open from the inside, and the hallways in these karaoke establishments are very narrow. If a door is open out into the hallway, you have to kind of cling to the wall like Solid Snake to get around it. Unknowing to my friend, there was a poor little Big Echo employee walking through the corridor. My friend kicks the door open. Guess what happened? Bang! And I've looked. I think I was the one that was singing my song, and I stopped dead and looked round. And the door's shaking like mad. And the poor girl's just gone flying back into the wall and slid down it, kind of like in pain, like someone shot her. Like somebody shot her with a sniper rifle with like mercury lead bullets. She went flying back into the wall. And I'm looking out, and my mate is standing there like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And he's trying to help her up. And she's holding her arm, and I'm assuming she's like, oh no, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. Well, she's clearly not. Her arm probably broken. And one of my other friends got up and walked out there to try and kind of mediate the situation. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And all I can see is just bowing. Like my two friends and this girl is bowing. I don't know why this girl's bowing. She's got nothing to bow about. My friend attacked her with the door. She was bowing, holding her arm on the verge of tears. Meanwhile, I'm pissing myself laughing into the microphone. I'm supposed to be singing. I'm just laughing, 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 because all I can see is just bowing and this girl in absolute pain. And that just made the whole night. I mean, if that girl was listening to this, I do apologize for laughing. I wasn't subtle. She looked into the room and saw I was laughing and probably thought, that bloody gaijin asshole. But I could not stop laughing. It was just the way it happened. It just knocked her full pelt in the side of her body into the wall. And after that, I couldn't sing. I was just a laughing wreck. So that karaoke session swiftly came to an end. It was like, on that note, we'll go. That was just funny. I couldn't stop laughing. It was just one of those things where that would have to happen. And that was it. Karaoke in Japan is awesome. It was always memorable. It was always fun. And it was great. Absolutely great. Amazing time. And I think that concludes my 19th random ramble. Wow. I'm sitting here thinking, have I missed anything? Is there something I should go over? Is there something I should mention? Nah, nothing. 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 So, my 19th random ramble comes to a close, and I'll take this opportunity to say thank you for listening, and hopefully my 20th podcast will come to you before the end of 2009. I know what I can be like, you know what I can be like, but you keep your fingers crossed and you just keep praying and hoping that, you know, this podcast comes before 2010 rolls in. Where has this year gone? Where has this year gone? I'd love, if the universe were a person you could ask questions to, I'd love to ask it that question. Where the crap, where the hell did 2009 go? It's ridiculous. God, before I know it, it's going to be Christmas, then 2010, and then it'll be the end of 2010, and then it'll be 2011, then the end of 2011, then I'll be old and then dead. Jesus. So, yeah, on that note, that slightly depressing note, I'll say goodbye, take care, and I will hear from you soon. Remember, those of you who have not checked out my earlier podcast, please do. My very first few podcasts sound like shit compared to the later ones as I was finding my feet, but please do go back and listen to them just to get a sense of who Jay is. As I said, you can find my podcasts on my official podcast blog, which is www.therandomramblesofjay.blogspot.com. Also, you can check out posts and things on my personal life in between these long, lifelong gaps I put between podcasts at www.randomjblog.com. And as was mentioned in my little insert interlude ditty thingy, you can also access my podcasts on iTunes. My podcast is available on iTunes. Just search The Random Rambles of Jay and I will be the first and the only one that comes up. And you can stream, subscribe and download my podcast from iTunes. So, until next time, take care and I will catch you on podcast number 20. See ya!